Listen up, hockey fans. You're in the right place. A no-holds-barred debate between two hockey fans. Stay up to date with current NHL news, even the controversial. Welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts, Brad Brood and Blake Friars. Good evening and welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast. April 17th, episode 177. I am the host of the show, Brad Brood, joined alongside my co-host, Blake Friars. And yeah, we haven't been with you for 2 weeks, so it's good to be back. Blake's jam-packed in the middle of the BCHL playoffs. And those things sometimes and rarely but get in the way, and we just deal with them as life goes on. Let's talk about the BCHL playoffs before I bitch about something. I don't know. Your team's down 2-0 in the second round. Not the end of the world. But yep. I mean, not a hole you want to be in.
Right.
But probably more concerning is just the, both those games were home was probably the most concerning. Whereas the last series, you held serve at home and won in a 7-game series. And now your back's against the wall as you head on the road. So it should be interesting, but definitely you guys were the better team all season in the regular season. So I don't think it's a time to panic or anything.
Yeah, no, it's been frustrating not to get results at home. We were 4-0 in the first round, and we lost all three on the road in the first round. So hopefully we can find a way to get some results on the road. But we've been a good road team all year though, so it's no need to panic. But I mean, you gotta have one of the biggest games of the year in game three, because you gotta have that. I mean, you almost gotta go there and get both. I mean, a split almost in some cases would be good enough, but when you lose the first two, it's tough to get a split and go back home down 3-1. So, I gotta have two of the biggest games of the year coming up, and hopefully we get some results.
Two ways to look at that. I mean, obviously you have to get one of the two, otherwise you're done. But, going back home, I mean, you know, you make it 3-2 and then all of a sudden it's, you know what I mean? How it's funny how series change so much. You know, like 3-1 seems so like at the end of the world.
Just take it one game at a time. To be honest. Yeah, it's like the mindset you got to have.
I mean, we've seen
you just win one and then you go on to the next.
Yeah,
try and just keep repeating that. So I mean,
you can't look at it big picture. You do. You have to like almost micro it down to a period by period. Hey, we're gonna win this period, and then we're gonna win this game, and then. You know, then you hit a reset button. You know, you guys go and win on Monday night and it's 2-1. Well, that doesn't look so bad, does it?
No. Yeah, exactly.
It's crazy
how close travel too. It's like an hour and a half drive. So it's nothing. I mean, it should be an easy game to get up for everybody involved. So hopefully they can put something together on Monday, tomorrow night, and have a good game.
You were telling me that 16 of the 18 teams make it from the BCHL to the playoffs. To me, that's absurd. I know it's junior hockey though, and I guess there's a positive of that. You're teaching young kids how to play in the playoffs. So, I mean, I get it. I get it, but it does I don't know. It kind of makes the regular season a formality, but, that's probably an argument for another day. Major League Baseball. I got a question for you. Now we're rewinding here. We haven't talked for a while on the show, but you're a big baseball guy, and I don't like baseball, and I'm not going to rip on baseball for this, but I just don't understand something. The Masters happens once a year, and it's one of the bigger sporting events on TV. I know you were excited Tiger Woods was back in it, and I was excited, and I don't know. To me, and I'm a big golf guy, so that's kind of a consuming week. Why on God's green earth is Major League Baseball scheduling their opening day for the first day of the Masters?
Yeah, I mean, they kind of got put in a tough spot, though. I mean,
well, I know they did get pushed back a little bit.
Their lockout kind of screwed up everything.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
The lockout ended, like, nobody knew when the lockout would end. The lockout ends, and then you got a set a date. I mean, they didn't plan on doing it the opening day of the Masters. That's just kind of the date it fell on. If you start a series midweek, you got to start it on a Thursday or a Friday. So, I mean, it was either going to be a Thursday or Friday. It was going to fall on. Unfortunately, it was a Masters. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I mean, no, it's a lot. There's a lot more to it, but it just seemed like I was like, man, I can't imagine that this is their top pick because that just doesn't make sense at all. Because that's a tough TV battle to go up against. Because I know a lot of people. I know a lot of my friends who are even baseball fans are. I mean, what the Masters is kind of like the Super Bowl of golf. So, that was a big weekend with Tiger Woods being back too. Not that all of us are Tiger Woods fans. It does add a lot of excitement to the tournament, whether you're a fan of his or not. And, it was.
He did good first round. Did not too good second round, but I mean.
He kind of petered at the end, you know.
For the accent that he was in and all the circumstances, I thought he did okay in his first like real tournament back. I mean, That's a tough course to jump into, right? I mean, Augusta is one of the toughest courses out there. So for him to jump in and shoot an even par in the first round, he kind of fell on the second and third rounds. But for him to get through four rounds, I think that is a plus for him because he's trying to work his way back into, you know, golf shape and whatnot. And, the game of golf is good when Tiger's on the course. I mean, it's everybody loves Tiger and, yeah, I'm just happy he's back.
I am too. I am not a huge Tiger Woods fan. I don't dislike him at all, though. I will be the first one to admit when he's in a tournament, I tend to pay a little more attention.
Tiger's red on a Sunday in contention. It's a good day to sit down and watch some golf.
But nobody right now in the world is playing better than Scottie Scheffler. Holy moly.
No, jeez. Like man. He was just.
And you know what?
And what's that?
He seemed like such a nice guy too. He won the Players.
Was it Smith?
Cameron Smith.
I like him too.
I do too.
Swagger.
I mean, all these guys. There's so many good young golfers. There's just so many. And yeah. I mean, if someone who doesn't watch golf will just sit down and spend a Sunday or even a Saturday, you know, you got to get into it a little bit. And then once you get into it, it's like, God, this is exciting. Always fun. Speaking of fun, we got a fun show ahead of today. The heat is on in the Western Conferences. It's a battle between a few teams for that final spot. Blake and I are going to break down, analyze the Western Conference, give our insight on how we think it's going to play out.
How is the Islanders not eliminated yet? I don't understand that.
Those are statistical.
Did you see the points? Oh, I think if they lose today, they're eliminated.
Yeah, and they were losing here a little bit ago.
They're losing 3-2 to Toronto right now.
But we're going to break down that Western Conference, and then we're going to talk about some breakout performers in the league this year, some players who stepped up and have really made a name for themselves this year. We'll go around the league, talk a little Bruce Boudreau, Troy Terry, the Bird, Robin Lehner, and what team is the official's favorite team? Hockey fans, let's dive right into this Western Conference playoff race. It's down to pretty much four teams for three spots, five teams for four spots. I would probably say that. Let's talk Central right away, and I think it's a pretty much a foregone conclusion. Well, it is a foregone conclusion. Colorado has won the Western Conference, so we know that's done and in the books. I think St. Louis and Minnesota are. I mean, those guys are shoe-ins. It's just they're battling for home ice advantage, and they had a good one last night, a 6-5 overtime game. Yeah. And they're battling for home ice advantage in the Central. In the Pacific, Calgary has wrapped up the playoff spot. They have not wrapped up the Pacific Division yet. That'll be interesting. They currently sit at 101 points. The Edmonton Oilers.
They've lost four of their last five.
Who has? They've
got to pick it up.
Who has?
Calgary.
They won 9-1.
Oh, sorry. They've won four of their last five.
Yeah.
I got mixed up with the colors. Like, that's weird. It said on Sportsnet the blue is a win and a red is a loss. You'd think that'd be opposite, though.
No? Red stop sign. I don't know. Why don't they just put a W and an L? Wouldn't that be easier?
Yeah, I don't know. I was thinking hot and cold.
I've looked. Well, that's true too. I've looked at that before too and got confused. I think yellow is overtime or something. I don't know. Anyways, Edmonton is, pretty much solidified second, I think. I think we probably both agree that Calgary will win the Pacific barring, I don't know. I mean, it could happen, but, with just, what is it? Four, five, six games.
Brad, you said it's five teams. I think it's honestly, it's three teams for one spot.
Well, no, I don't think so. Well, I think Nashville and Dallas are in, don't you think?
I think Nashville and Dallas are locked in the wild card.
Yeah, I would agree. And I don't know. Vancouver, I don't know which Vegas, one's going to get what
Vancouver,
though.
Vancouver, Vegas, LA are going to battle for third in the Pacific.
Yep. I think that's really what it boils down to. I think the Nashville, Dallas could go back and forth on who gets what spot.
Yeah.
I know that like either.
Those are the wild cards.
Neither one of them are catching St. Louis or Minnesota.
No. So what it's going to come down to, I did the math. Vancouver has one loss to play with. And they play LA the second last game of the year. So, they're 6 points back with two games in hand. Massive game tomorrow against Dallas. But yeah, Vancouver's got one loss to play with and they're going to need some help. So that like it's going to come down to if Vancouver can keep rolling here, they won five in a row. If they can keep rolling here and give themselves a chance when they play LA, that's what it's going to come down to.
You know, I'm not saying Vancouver can't do it, but if they do, which I said they were going to be in the playoffs, how many times this year? The only thing is like now they've lost Horvat and they've just, it seems like as soon as they look like they're, taking a step in the right direction, you know, and gonna maybe, you know, slide up that standing thing, something devastating happens, like losing your captain to an injury. And then it's like, oh, like how many more blows can this team take? And they haven't shown me consistency.
If you were to tell me though, when Vancouver started the season 6-15,
that seemed like 6.
That they would win 37 games this year. No, I would have said you are nuts.
Well, they're winners of five in a row. They're 6-2-2 in their last 10. This team has not been a bad hockey team of late.
No,
they're not.
But the Canucks are going to go look back at that 7-game homestand where they were 3 points out of a playoff spot. And you can go and lose to Buffalo, you go and lose to Detroit, you go and lose to, they got blown out by Calgary. That's gonna be the homestand. You go back and look, they went 2-5 on that homestand.
Yep. Right? And that's gonna haunt them. I mean, that's gonna be the one. I mean, right now, they even get half of the points out of that.
Yeah. You're respectable. You're 2-3 points out.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and currently they sit at 84 points and they're chasing the LA Kings who sit at 90 points. The good side of that is though, they have two games in hand on the LA Kings. Play each other. But you have to win those games.
Yep.
Another team.
You win against Dallas tomorrow, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Win against Dallas, you're 5 points behind Dallas and 6 points behind LA. Or, sorry, 4 points behind LA. So, I don't know. Anything can happen, I guess.
Another team we need to talk about, and a team that's been red hot lately, is the Vegas Golden Knights, 7-2-1 in their last 10. They've vaulted back up into contention. They currently sit 87 points back, three games back of the LA Kings with one game in hand. And I don't know really what to make of this team. They, on some nights, look really, really good. And then on other nights.
Vancouver beat them twice last week.
Yeah. I don't know. They're a difficult team to figure out.
Well, I mean, like, is Leonard still hurt?
We're going to talk about that later. Well, let's talk about it now. We'll skip that part later in the show. We might as well talk about it now because it's relevant. Robin Lehner is out. He did not play against Calgary the other night. Thompson played.
Yeah, they won 6-1.
Yeah, they killed Calgary. And then, but Robin Lehner has left the team and went back to Vegas for, a family health issue. Which scares me. I don't know why. I'm not calling him a liar. I have no idea what it is, but it just seems like those things happen to Robin Lehner more than anybody else in the league. So they've called up Yuri Patera. I don't know if you remember that name.
Yeah, Brandon Wheatking.
Yeah, and guess who their other goalie is?
Yeah, it's Thompson.
Logan Thompson, another Brandon Wheatking. Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah, we literally watched him play.
Yep, yep. And so, you know, I'm not knocking that they're Brandon Wheat Kings. They're both very good goalies. But I look at this team, and they're trying to solidify a playoff spot, and they're going in with those two goalies. That's a scary and a difficult task for two goalies. Like,
they kind of made their own bed, though. They trade Fleury.
Oh, they totally made their bed. You know, do you know anybody in the hockey world that isn't a Vegas fan that's cheering for them? Like, everybody wants Vegas out of the playoffs. Nobody wants Vegas into the playoffs. No,
because if they get in and get healthy, look out.
Yeah, but you do not. I know you agree with me on this. We've talked about this a lot. Do you still not feel comfortable with Robin Lehner? Because I don't.
Yeah, I mean, just like,
some nights he's on. Like, he's on. He's kind of like a Mike Smith. Like, if you get him on the wrong night, the guy is golden. And then the next night, it's like, holy crap.
Yeah. No. It's been Mike Smith's pretty good as a late, too.
Let's talk about that a little bit. The Edmonton Oilers, 8-1-1 in their last 10. Mike Smith, two consecutive shutouts. What do you make of this Oilers team?
Well, they're beating some good teams as a late. I mean, they beat Nashville 4-0, Vegas 4-0. They beat LA 2. They beat LA 3-2. They lost in overtime to Colorado. So, like, they're in a lot of these games. Dreisaitl's performing. He's coming off a hat trick against, I believe that was Vegas. Was it Vegas?
I don't even remember. I think
Vegas
so.
It was Vegas or, Nashville. It might have been Nashville.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's kind of putting the team on his back right now. Mike Smith's been playing well. They're getting good results.
Los Angeles. Los Angeles has struggled lately. They're 4-5-1. Drew Doughty out for the rest of the season. They're another team that's just faced like tons and tons and tons of energy. They're getting scoring from everybody in their lineup, which is definitely a benefit. But this is
they had a big win. They had a big win last night against Columbus too.
But you know, the goal differential number to me isn't like the biggest stat. But if you look at the goal differential number year in and year out, usually the teams with positive goals.
What are they, minus four?
Yes. Usually goal differential teams make the playoffs if you're positive, and if you miss the playoffs, you're a negative. And right now, Vegas is plus 18, Vancouver's plus 13, sitting on the outside, Dallas minus 2, and LA minus 4.
Yeah.
Now, if I was in Vegas today placing a bet, I place a bet that Los Angeles is not in the playoffs. Although they do not play playoff team. The rest of the season.
Yeah.
They have five games left. They have played no playoff teams.
Anaheim, Chicago, Anaheim, Seattle, Vancouver.
Yes. That's scary.
Hopefully John Gibson gets a couple of shutouts.
He hasn't played all that great lately. I'm not blaming him. That whole team has not played great lately. There's a lot of teams not playing good lately. Boy, Arizona's a complete shit show.
Six games.
And Detroit's a complete shit show. Like, I swear, last night I watched the Calgary Arizona game.
Last six games,
their goaltending
they have scored six goals, and they have given up five or more in every single one of them.
They can't stop a puck to save their life.
They gave up 9 to Calgary, 7 to Vancouver, 5 against Edmonton. Like, that's 20 right there.
Like, last night, Calgary wasn't even trying to score on a couple of their shots, and they freaking went in. It was ugly. Yeah. I felt bad. I felt their coach is just sitting on the bench like, you got to get me out of here.
Like, well, I felt like watching them against Vancouver, too. Like, holy shit.
And buddy. Detroit is the same way. I think Detroit gave up another 8 spot or something crazy today, or 6-1. They gave up a 9 spot the other night, and that team can't stop the puck either, and that team's a train wreck, too, and it surprises me a little bit. I thought they'd be taking a little bit bigger step this year. Who's going to play who in the West? You know, if you're talking about the big guns, we talked that the Minnesota Wild, St. Louis Blues are pretty much a lock. Calgary looks like they're going to be probably playing Dallas. That's their biggest chance. Dallas or Nashville. That one's been flip-flopping. I don't know. It's going to be, I think you're right in the fact that LA Vancouver game towards the end of the season is going to be a giant, giant game. Yeah. If the playoffs started today, let me run through the matchups with you. Colorado would be taking on Dallas. St. Louis, Minnesota, which would be a bonkers good series.
How do you figure?
Did it just,
I would be playing Nashville.
It changed today then. It just changed in the last hour. This is as of last night at midnight.
Yeah, right now Nashville's in the second wild card.
That just changed then.
Yeah.
Edmonton would be playing LA. In the East, Florida would play Washington. Toronto, Tampa Bay. Holy shit. Toronto would love that, huh? God, that'd be hilarious. Carolina, Boston. Troubles in Carolina as Frederick Anderson went out last night with an injury. And Stahl went out last night. Rod Brindamore had an aneurysm in the bench. He was so pissed off. New York Rangers and Pittsburgh. That would be a hell of a series, too.
And we're idiots for saying they missed the playoffs.
The Rangers?
No, Pittsburgh.
I know. God, we're not going to talk about that, Blake. Let's talk about positive things for us, right? Let's make us look good on this show. Because the prediction show is coming up, and we're going to look like jack wagons again. Oh, breakout performers this year. A lot of guys that really stepped up. I jotted down like 5 or 6 guys that at the beginning of the year, it's not that I didn't think they were great players, but they've really blossomed into good, good players.
Yeah. For me, JT Miller.
Yeah, he would be one that
91 points in 73 games, career high in goals, career high in assists, career high in points. Roman Josi, not that he wasn't a good player, but he's never produced like this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Connor, 43 goals.
You can't say Kyle Connor. Kyle Connor's been doing this every year. It's just that he gets no recognition.
Like this good? 87 yes. points?
He's been right sniffing that.
40-40 guy? There's no way he's been a 40-40 guy.
Look at his stats.
Okay, I'll go look at his stats.
This guy's been bonkers every year, and nobody even notices him. He's in the top 10 scoring every single year. Nobody.
This is the first time he scored over 35 goals, Brad.
Look at his points. His points are bonkers every
57,
year.
57, 66, 73, 50, and 87. Breakout. Breakout performer.
You know, Elias Lindholm would be one that I would say.
Yeah, Lindholm's been good.
He's solidified himself as a top-end center in the National Hockey League. He's going to score 40 goals. He scored 40 goals already.
How about Kadri? 83 points.
Yeah, I thought about putting him on my list. I did. I didn't.
Robert Thomas, 73 points.
That is my number one guy on my list. That guy has been unreal.
Chris Kreider, 50 goals.
Yeah.
Who would have thought?
Yeah, but you know what? Why do I feel he's going to be a one-hit wonder?
Yeah, he might be, but like, hats off to him. His name's in the record books to score 50 goals.
For sure. Tage Thompson.
Jordan Kyrou, another St. Louis Blue that is playing well.
Tage Thompson, I just said. Buffalo, he's been really, really, really good this year.
Yeah, I'm just...
33 goals, 59 points in 71 games. Did anybody know who Tage Thompson was?
61 points?
Yeah.
Yeah, Thompson, 63.
Troy Terry.
Terry's been good. 34 goals.
Oliver Shillington is another one I wrote down. He went from being a guy that wasn't even playing hardly. He played 8 games last year, or 2 years. Yeah, 8 games last year. And now he's running second line D, you know, with Chris Tanev. I mean, he's been really, really good this year.
Horvat, career high, 31 goals.
Yeah, that's not a breakout year for him, though. We expected that.
It's the first time he scored over 23.
Yeah, I'm not going to give you that one, though. JT Miller, I'll give you.
Mangiapane, 32 goals.
Yeah, that would be a breakout year for Mangiapane this year. Yeah, I would put him on the list. You know another guy that I really think deserves some credit in this one? Igor Shesterkin.
Yeah. It honestly, doesn't surprise me, though.
But, you know, and I'm not saying he was bad before. But look at what this guy is.
Look at his track record, though.
I mean, he's been good, but now he's bonkers good. I mean, he leads the league in goals against and save percentage. He's got 5 shutouts. I mean, he's raised his goals or his save percentage 2 percentage points. He's really, really stepped up this year.
Is he winning the goals again or the Vezina?
Probably. I don't know who would beat him right now besides... Jacob Markstrom would be listed, but Frederick Anderson. Those would probably be the 3 finalists, but I'd give it to Shesterkin. He's had a couple rocky patches. Markstrom's having a little bit of a rocky patch.
UC Saros.
He's awesome. He's awesome.
30 saves, leads the league in wins. He's also started 64 games. So
that's a team, though, that I wouldn't you be a little scared playing Nashville in the first round?
Yeah, they're big. They're physical.
But and he can get hot.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. That's a team that I kind of scares me a little bit. Robert Thomas was one. I know you mentioned him, and we talked briefly about him. But he has turned into a bona fide superstar in this league.
Right. Just trying to think of other goalies
that have really stepped
Jake
up.
Jake Oettinger?
Yeah.
His coming out party.
Kind of.
Thatcher Demko, 60 starts.
Kind of knew that. Win. Didn't we know that, though, this year? We kind of knew
it. Yeah, we did, but we didn't know, like, what it would be like if he went, like, under a full season.
No, I know.
We got to talk about Billy Huso, though. He's fucking 24-6.
Ooh. Wait a minute. Has he taken Binnington's spot? Did we?
Oh, 100%.
I know, but did we predict that? I don't know. Did we? Yeah. I'm pretty sure we did. I know we did.
Yeah. 2.44 and a 9.23.
He's been rock solid this year,
though. Been unreal.
Every night, though. I mean, I always look at when we play St. Louis, when Calgary plays St. Louis, I'm always like, all right, who's starting in net? I'm like, oh, shit, it's Huso again. He's good. That's a goalie that could really take St. Louis to big things in the playoffs, because I'm not writing St. Louis off at all in the playoffs. They're going to be a hell of a tough out.
Carter Hart, man. 3.16.
What do you do there?
I don't even know.
Because I'm trying to remember last year. Last year was so screwed up with COVID. Didn't he struggle all last year, though, too?
Yeah, he fired his mental health coach.
Yeah, well, he needs to fire the new one, too. I know he doesn't get a lot of help. I'm not throwing him completely under the bus. I know that team's is a train wreck. But, like, seriously, like, what is going on? Is he a one-hit wonder?
I'm starting to wonder.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, did they give him a big contract? I'm trying to remember.
Who?
Did they give Carter Hart a big contract in Philly?
No.
I was trying to remember if they did or not. Are you sure?
I don't think they did, no.
Who's the worst contract for a goalie right now? I know this is a little off topic, but not really.
Oh, it's gotta be Binnington.
Or Murray.
Or Murray, yeah.
Oh, God, they signed that one. I was just like, someone drank too much last night. That was a bad, bad, bad contract. Oh.
Carter Hart, 3 years, 3.9.
Not horrible. Oh, geez. Koskinen's looking good compared to Carter Hart this year, though.
Carey Price is back, baby.
Yeah, I know
you hate Carey Price, but
it's Carey Price
for the game, and he's back in net.
He's not.
I know you're an avid Carey Price hater, so I just wanted to
I'm not a Carey Price hater. I'm a Carey Price realist.
Montreal fans, send your hate mail Brad Brood's way. He lives in Minot, North Dakota.
I'm not a hater of Carey Price. I'm a realist. Like, didn't they get shelled? Didn't they let go 8 goals in last night?
He didn't play.
Oh. Okay.
He let in 2 goals on 19 shots his first game back.
Okay.
Looked pretty good.
Okay. We'll see. That team's a train wreck, too.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. All right, time to go around the league with a bunch of different happenings. All right, Bruce Boudreau. I got to bring this up, Blake. I saw a tweet, and I know this was a while ago, but we haven't had the show since then, and I've been saving this one in the the memory bank for what we had to talk about. Elliot Friedman tweeted that Canucks management is thinking about not bringing back Bruce Boudreau next year. And Elliot Friedman was like, is there better options out there? I'm almost certain that there aren't. What's Vancouver management doing in this? Is this for real? Is this not going to happen? Like, is Bruce Boudreau gone?
Yeah, well, I mean, they're probably going to talk about the end of the year with their vision and their plan, and Boudreau might not want to coach a rebuilding team. Like that, maybe he wants to go to contender. But the only thing I can think of is if the new GM wants to bring in his own guy And I don't know.
Who is better?
I personally wouldn't let him go. It didn't work out with a first time head coach with Willie Desjardins and Travis Green. So, I mean.
Here's what I don't understand.
It's a no brainer to lock him up, but.
Like, okay, I'm sitting there. This team has not a shot in hell at making the playoffs this year without Bruce Boudreau. They get Bruce Boudreau, and now we're sitting here a week and a half before the end of the season talking about the fact that Vancouver, who was freaking dead, buried, and gone, having a chance to get into the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, a lot of that is thanks to Miller and
absolutely. And Pettersson has been a whole Pettersson bunch better.
Is alive and out of his season long coma. He's got 37 points in his last 23 games, I think.
Yeah. I mean,
he's just been producing at an absurd level,
but
and it's like, where the hell was this all year?
I know, but like, you know, it's
just like, oh, fuck, over 9 points out of playoffs. I better start scoring.
But I don't understand. Well, first of all, I mean, every player does it. I'm not going to write him off because of it, but it is concerning, I guess. But, you know, I just look at this Bruce Boudreau and I'm like thinking, who the hell are they going to fight better than this guy? I don't know. Other news, it's a long ways out, but I still want to talk about it because I wanted to get your opinion on this one. And I was going to tweet or text you on this one and get your opinion, but I wanted to talk to you about it on the show. A couple of weeks ago, Troy Terry gets jumped after the whistle, basically, by Beagle, who I never thought of him as a fighter anyways. I don't think he's only had a couple fights in his career. But just freaking punches the shit out of Troy Terry. And then it comes out saying that Arizona was upset because Anaheim was skilling it up on them.
No, that's what their broadcaster said.
Okay. You're right. Their broadcaster said that. Was this just another black eye for the Arizona Coyotes?
I mean, like, so.
Well, I just wanted to get your take on this one.
I don't understand where Zegras is going with this. Troy Terry, like, put himself in that position. He went to help out Zegras.
He did.
And Beagle grabs the young kid and just tunes him.
But Terry never even took his gloves off.
A, Terry, if you don't want to go get your ass beat, you probably don't want to go into a pile like that. And B, Trevor Zegras should be thanking Louis Erickson for hugging him around, not letting him go. I mean, it was just funny how Zegras says, it's just embarrassing. I'm not going to name the guy. Like, hey, we all have video. We all have
social media. We saw the guy. We're not blind.
We know who that is. So you can just say it. It's funny. He was just looking over his shoulder like Beagle was hovering over behind him like he was going to come down the hallway or something. I don't know. But
I thought the whole situation was just weird, though. But but for some reason, though, didn't like the way Arizona handled it for some reason. I don't know why. I don't know. I don't know. Then this week, this was kind of funny. Ryan Hartman gets into it with Evander Kane, gets fined $4,200 for flipping off Evander Kane.
The GoFundMe page popped off.
The GoFundMe raises a bunch of money and we all know the whole league hates Evander Kane, who's been playing really good lately, by the way. But did you notice, the only thing I reason I wanted to bring this up, other than it was kind of funny, but did you notice that, like, nobody from Edmonton even, like, kind of tried to help out at all with Evander Kane?
Yeah, I mean, they were just in a scrum, and, like, Evander Kane has been, like, I hate to say it, he's been pretty damn good.
He's been really good.
He's been in well in Edmonton. And like, if I'm an Edmonton Oilers fan, I'm like, please, Kenny Holland, don't give this guy a contract.
This screams
four-year deal, though.
This seems a Cassian special, doesn't it? Does this not? Does
I
this,
mean, if they got cast in, if they got Kane for that money, I think you take it and run with it.
He's, I know that, but when we saw the Cassian deal, we were like, ooh.
But he's showing that he can keep his emotions in check, though. He hasn't done anything crazy yet.
No, but okay, but let me ask you this question and tell me if I'm wrong. Let me ask you this. Okay. We're going to get into the playoffs now, right? And emotions are going to go right up, right?
Yeah.
What happens when emotions go up? Inhibitions go down.
You do dumb shit.
You do dumb shit. So, if you're a team playing Edmonton in the first round, are you not poking the bear on Evander Kane?
Yeah, but that's already happened before, though. I mean, who did he sock in the head? Who was that?
Was that this year? I don't remember.
Yeah, he punched that guy right in the face. We talked about it on here. Oh, it's that guy on San Jose. What's his name?
I don't know. Timo Meyer? I don't know.
Can't remember. Anyway, but no, he's been really good. I mean,
I wonder though, like, what Edmonton would have to pay to lock him up.
Honestly, if Edmonton's smart, you just give him another 1-year deal.
What if he says, no, I can get more from another team? Cause he could.
I mean, would you rather get another team, or would you rather take a 1-year deal and play in a line with McDavid or Draisaitl? I'm taking the latter.
Okay. Okay. I'm not disagreeing.
You get 1 year, $2 million.
Okay, but hear me out on this. But
you get 1 year, $2 million, $3 million with the Oilers, or you get a 3-year deal at, say, $10 million.
Okay.
But I'm taking the 2-year deal.
I agree, but let me throw this at you. I've got gambling issues. I'm in debt. I've got other life problems. I have no money.
Yeah.
This is guaranteed money. I'm just throwing the reality of this. The dude needs money.
Nah,
he's not your average guy in the NHL.
That's true. I mean, I would imagine he wants to win, though. I mean,
I think so. He looks like a winner. I mean, that's probably a bad comment for a man. He looks like a competitive player that would love to hoist the cup. Hands down. I couldn't agree
more. And if Edmonton's a goalie away from being a true contender, so. I mean, if he was to re-sign there
and for another defenseman. Short term.
Yeah, I don't know.
They look good lately. How am I saying that about 8-1-1 team? I know. I mean, that sounds crazy, but. Mm-hmm. I think, you know what? I think there's a lot of teams that's like, okay, here's what we're looking like in the regular season. Show me what you can do in the postseason.
Yep.
I think, and you can say that about a bunch of teams, you know, I mean, like just a bunch of teams this year.
Yeah.
One other last thing before we get on to three questions. There was an incident the other night between Ottawa and Boston that made me laugh pretty hard. Puck gets rung around, gets into the feet of the official. It happens. Officials are human. It happens. And I've seen it happen 100 times. But most of the time when I see it, it hits the official. The official stops the puck and the official takes 3 little crossover steps and removes himself away from the puck and lets the players come in. But not in this case. A Boston defenseman is coming out from behind the net, and the referee kicks the puck right to the Boston defenseman so he can clear the zone. And there was an Ottawa player right there that skated by, and you could hear him yell, "What the hell?" And I thought, oh, my God. When I saw it, I thought, oh, Twitter world's going to go batshit crazy on this. And they did. They were climbing. Oh, the NHL officials are Boston Bruins fans. And they were all over them. And it was a pretty comical incident. But one that referee, I'm sure, went to the locker room after and was like, I didn't just freaking do that. Did I just do that? Gosh. All right, Blake, you ready for three questions?
Yeah.
It's time for three questions.
All right, Blake, three questions. My turn this week to fire them at you. Next week, you're going to give them right back. Fairly decent questions this week. All right, question number one. Average goals per game are at an all-time high since 96, last 25 seasons. Why do you think that is? They're averaging almost 6.3 goals per game.
I just think.
And last year it was 5.8.
players are younger, they're faster, they're more creative. I mean, you're seeing players do different things. They're finding different ways to score goals. You're seeing more creativity. There's more power plays. That's a main reason why goals are up is there's more power play opportunities for each team. So, yeah, the NHL wanted to create some offense and calling penalties is the way to do that.
Question number two. Who would win in a fight amongst all the coaches in the league?
Well, one that comes to mind for me would be Rob Brenemore.
Yeah.
He's an absolute mutant.
I saw this on Twitter. Somebody posted this question. I thought,
I wouldn't want to mess with Gallant.
I wouldn't want to mess with Gallant either. He was on my list too. Craig Berube, I wouldn't want to fight him.
No, wouldn't want to. Let's see. I would have said Troche if he was still a coach.
Tocket, you mean?
Who else?
Bruce Cassidy, I wouldn't want to fight him.
Yeah, those are the three probably.
Let me throw one other one out. I want to see what your reaction is. How do you feel fighting Daryl Sutter? Why do I feel
he would just hurt you with his words and you wouldn't even know what to do.
Wouldn't he be, he'd be that cowboy sneaky strong, wouldn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
God, is there anybody more entertaining in the league than that guy? God, every night, I'm almost more excited to watch his post gamers as I am the game.
And the reporter will ask him like a good, insightful question and he'll be like, yep, good game. Good game. Yep. Holy shit. Calm down, dude. Fuck.
Oh, that
team. Like, they could win the cup and be like, yeah.
No. You'll good see series. If they win the cup. It'll be a whole new. Yeah, it will.
No.
If they win the cup, he'll be smiles.
A leopard don't change his spots.
No, he did it with LA though. The night after they won the cup, then he was great for the whole summer. And then when season started, it was like game face on and it's time to go here. You know, he's an entertaining guy. Question number three. The Philadelphia Flyers management decided to play young players over veteran Keith Yandel, ending his Iron Man streak. Was this the right thing to do?
I mean, Keith Yandel has been very good as of late. I mean, I think the Iron Man streak was the only thing keeping him not from being scratched. I think this is just a matter of time, to be honest. So,
11 games from 1,000.
Yeah, that's tough.
I'm always lived under the motto that a coach's job is to put the very best lineup out every night.
Right.
I've always lived under that.
But like you're not even a playoff.
But you are
you gotta see what you got with your young players though.
Yes, but you're in the top five of shittiest teams in the league. And you're gonna look on your bench and you're gonna be like 989 games. He needs 11 more till 1,000. What message am I gonna send to my other players on loyalty? I think I'm gonna play him 11 more games, I'm gonna get him to 1,000, and then I'm gonna pull the plug.
Yeah.
That's what I would have done. But I guess what I do doesn't mean shit. But I don't know. I think getting to that 1,000. Why do I not want Phil Kessel to get it? You want to know why Phil Kessel doesn't get hurt?
Because he's, I don't know, lazy?
Because he doesn't even fucking try. He doesn't even try anymore. He looks so miserable for Arizona right now. He looks like.
Remember that one shift against Calgary in overtime?
I thought about it last night. I actually tried to look for it on YouTube last night.
That was all time. The guy is just like, they score and he's just like, he had a damn hot dog.
He had his stick on his pants and he was kneeling over in overtime because he was so out of breath and out of shape because he's so fat. God, that was a joke. All right, listener question. All right, you got to listen to this one now. This is a complicated question. Should the NHL and NHLPA allow players to renegotiate their contracts in order to circumvent the cap and facilitate trades?
Like restructure contracts? You see it in the MLB. You see it in the NFL.
And it's a train wreck in both of them, isn't it?
I just don't know. I just don't think that will ever happen.
No, I don't agree with it either. I think that's cheating the system. And I don't think it only benefits the big market teams, and having a cap's whole purpose is to make all teams equal.
Yeah.
And I think I agree with you on that one. I don't even know if I want to go into it much more than that, because I think the same as you on that one. And I don't know. How excited for the playoffs are you, Blake?
Yeah, no, it'll be good. I mean, playoffs are the best time of the year.
I'm excited for this Vancouver run, though. This is going to be good this week. This is going to be interesting this week.
Yeah, I mean,
Vancouver and Vegas, I want to see how they both do.
Vancouver is just like good. It's just like they're there to give you hope, and then they're going to go out tomorrow against Dallas and get blown out. It happens too much.
I know.
And the thing is, like, Vancouver's not a very good hockey team, but they're like just good enough to screw up the draft lottery.
Oh, I lived it for how many years in Calgary?
Tough.
Calgary win the Pacific, Blake?
Yeah, I think so. Unless, barring an epic collapse and Edmonton takes it, but I don't know.
Edmonton's good, though. I mean, poof.
We'll see. And I can't wait till the playoffs, till the Toronto Maple Leafs losing the first round exit for the old Maple Leafs.
I hope they get Tampa. That'd be awesome.
Leaf fans are like, yeah, this is the year we're going to beat Tampa. We're going to beat Florida. We can beat Carolina, even Boston. It's like, I look at those four teams and it's like the Leafs have no shot in hell. Zero.
I don't know. We'll see.
No way.
I worry. I don't think they're going to make it either. Oof. It's going to be interesting. There's going to be a lot of good matchups, and geez, just a couple weeks and we're going to have to figure out who we're picking in the first round for the prediction show we got coming up here in a couple weeks. It's going to be a lot of fun. Another show in the books. The hockey family lost a superstar this week, a guy I loved watching play when Mike I was a Bossy. Little kid. Mike Bossy, 65 years old, way too young. Our thoughts and prayers go out to the Bossy family and friends. We're back again soon, I promise. Yeah, this was a long break. We don't, how much we can do? We got to have Blake's team go on and get on to the third round. They're in a hole in a dogfight. We'll see what they do tomorrow night. We're back next week. We're hoping for, Sunday, Monday, depending on Blake's schedule goes. We'll post this week on Facebook and Twitter what day we're going to be able to get after it. We're getting close to that playoffs. Prediction show coming up right around the corner. Check us out on all forms of social media. Get on over to debatehockey.com. Listen to some past episodes. Hey, it's a push to the playoffs. Enjoy this week's hockey action. Get connected to the Debate Hockey Podcast on all forms of social media. Follow the show on Twitter at Debate Hockey, and follow the hosts on Twitter at Brad Brood and at Friars_Blake. The Debate Hockey Podcast can also be found on Facebook, and check out the podcast website for all the current and archived shows at debatehockey.com. Get connected, stay connected for insight, opinions, and yes, controversy. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts Brad Brood and Blake Friars. For more great content and to stay up to date, check out debatehockey.com and on Twitter at Debate Hockey. We'll catch you next time. This episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast was copyrighted and produced by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.